You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 55. I'm Eric. I'm joined tonight by Lou. Lou, how you doing?
I am doing very well.
Good. And I'm also joined by Chris. Chris, how's it going?
Oh, Chris? I'm here.
Oh.
There was a long delay there. I don't know.
That's about it.
Yeah, as enthusiastic as ever. Everything okay? Are you happy
hey,
to
it's off.
Be here? Well, it's yes. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we were on yet another desert planet?
But it's spring on Hoth, so you know it's
yes.
But let's not.
Oh wow! Somebody's bitter about this winter. All right. Well. I guess we'll move along. You know, for everybody who's been hanging out in the chat room with us tonight, we had a playlist of videos lined up that I'm very proud of that Lou has never gotten to see before. We had some Chap Hop with Mr. B, the gentleman rapper. We had Conan O'Brien's Clueless Gamer covering Star Wars Connect. What else did we have? Ask a Ninja. Bushes of Love, the bad lip sync of A New Hope. Lou, what'd you think? Good stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I chuckled once
hesitation.
Or twice.
Oh my gosh, come on. The chat room loved it? Or at least I'm sure they would tell me that if I asked
they,
them.
They didn't have any way to say no.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm just saying, he didn't give him a choice.
Man, okay. I see how it's going to be. All right.
Just kidding.
Well, we've got a big news week. I mean, none of it's Star Wars news, but it's a big news week. Okay, maybe not. But we do have a really good discussion, and that's the important thing. So we'll get the news out of the way first. Star Wars, the original trilogy, is going to be coming back to the theaters this August.
Yes. That's very cool.
So, of course, the first thing I'm thinking when I read this is, yeah, we're going to go see it. And then I looked at the list. So this will be the special editions. The tickets are going on sale May the 4th, of course. And it will be in 20 cities throughout the United States.
That's not very many.
That's not very many.
No.
Yeah, less than half of the 50 states will actually have the movie. So here's what we have for the lineup. On August 6th, we've got San Francisco, Kansas City, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, New York, Miami, and San Antonio. The next day on August 7th, we have another location in New York, and we have Dallas. August 11th through the 13th, it'll be in Austin. August 13th, it'll also be in Philadelphia and Louisville, Kentucky. On the 20th, it'll be in Oakland, the 27th in Boston, and there will be dates in Houston and Denver to be determined.
So it's only on those days specifically?
Those specific dates.
Like, it's not going to run for like a week in a theater.
I don't know. They weren't that specific about it, but it looks like it may be a one-day only event.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chris, you're going to have to look at whether or not to drive to D.C. Lou, you and I are going to have to think about whether to drive to, I guess, either Boston or New York.
Hmm.
And, you know, I have to say that that does kind of take some of the wind out of the old sails there.
The bummer. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Well, and especially because this is probably going to be, you know, it's going to be some big to do. It's going to be, you know, parties and cosplay and all that kind of stuff. So
sold out tickets.
Sold out tickets. Mm, yeah. Mm.
Well, you know, 20 cities and only one day apiece. Let's see how many. Let's see, 20. That's not very many.
Yeah.
You know, 20 and showings basically is like, wow.
Nothing in Canada to answer the chat room. It doesn't look like there are any Canadian dates.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I've heard this is being put on by the Alamo Drafthouse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that's true or not, but I mean, it's still really cool. It's great news if you live anywhere near one of these cities. It's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure. So if you do, pay attention on May the 4th. The tickets are going to go on sale. If you hit, you know, different Star Wars websites, I'm sure you can get links on ordering the tickets. Another little tidbit. I think this was earlier today. Chris, are you into classic rock at all?
I am, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So we don't have to play the age card and jump straight to Lou on this one.
Thanks.
Hey, I like me some Pink Floyd, too. Okay. Actually, for classic rock, I probably have to say Pink Floyd is about the only classic rock. I can't say that either, because now a lot of the stuff I grew up with is now aged enough that it's considered classic rock.
Yeah, it really bothers me.
Which is weird. Like all the 80s hair bands. I'm like, this is not classic rock. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. That was considered classic rock when I was growing up in the 90s. So I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, see, classic has to be, 20 or 25 years. There's an actual delineation as to when something becomes classic. Just like with cars. Yeah, okay, chat room. Queen is classic rock. Poison? Not so much. Anyway, okay, so years ago...
Wrong with Poison, what?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with Poison. I was just saying that they're not classic rock. Just saying. Anyway, so the Dark Side of the Moon... One of the best-selling albums of Pink Floyd's career. One of the most classic albums of all time, actually. If you sync it up to... what's the movie? The Wizard of Oz. There are certain things that happen on screen that are kind of vaguely reflected in what's going on in the album. Either lyrically or musically. And it was kind of this weird... coincidence, or maybe not coincidence. There's been kind of a conspiracy about it for years and years and years. Well, now it has been discovered that The Force Awakens apparently syncs up with Dark Side of the Moon.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Allegedly. Now, I'm going to read over this. I'll let you guys decide how legitimate this is here, but there's actually some video that's been synced up, but the idea is that you play the soundtrack, Dark Side of the Moon, when the film's opening scroll ends and the camera pans up to the spaceship. That's when you start playing the music. So this is from, consequenceofsound.net. So here are some examples. When Poe wakes up in Kylo Ren's torture chamber, the lyrics of The Great Gig in the Sky start. One of the lyrics is, I'm not afraid of dying, anytime will do. And the song Scream happens right as Poe opens his mouth. The song Time plays while we witness the repetitive mundanity. Is that a word? Repetitive mundanity mundaneness of Ray's life, making a living by scavenging old electronics. I'm reading this word for word, by the way, so I have no idea if mundanity is actually a word or not. The us and them lyric, "and after all, we're only ordinary men," is sung right as Finn tells Ray that the resistance fighters look like him. "Some of us," he says, "others look different." Twice during the "keep your hands off my stack" line in Money, someone grabs a lightsaber. First it's Ray taking hold of Luke's, and then Han Solo grabbing Kylo's. Us and them again syncs with the battle of Tacodana. Okay. As Finn surveys the battleground, the lyrics go, "God only knows it's not what we would choose to do." Then as David Gilmour says "black," the camera focuses on Finn receiving Luke's lightsaber, and as Gilmour says "blue," Finn ignites the blue blade. Etc., etc. Now, I guess for me, and I never really understood this about the Wizard of Oz one either, but okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 examples here.
Mm.
Over how long is Dark Side of the Moon? A little over an hour. So in an hour, you can find 8 musical cues or lines that kind of vaguely sync up in some way.
Mm.
It seems like a stretch.
Seems like a lot of thought being put into it, but I mean,
I kind of feel like I could sit down and pull up Netflix and put on Pokemon episodes and probably have it sync up somehow. You know? Okay, chat room, mundanity is a word, by the way. Okay. See, I told you I felt stupid, and now I know it's for a good reason, so that's important. So, I don't know. Does this give you guys any interest in syncing it up and experimenting with it?
None.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried. I said it was a slow news week.
I'm more anxious to pull out my BB-8 and let him watch The Force Awakens with me, so...
I'm more interested in pulling out BB-8 and having him listen to Dark Side of the Moon and see if he goes all trippy. The Dark Side of BB-8. Yes. All right. So, for the second week in a row, since the release of The Force Awakens on DVD and Blu-ray and digital streaming, we are getting sidetracked by something completely not TFA related to talk about on the podcast. All this time we're waiting for TFA to come out so that we can analyze it and tear it apart, and instead we're going to be talking about something else.
Hmm. What could it be?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be too sad about it. So the Rogue One trailer came out this week. And, or excuse me, lest Luke correct me yet again, the teaser trailer...
I would not think of correcting you to say it was a teaser and not a trailer, because that's what they officially called it, but just saying.
Okay. I can sync up Nickelback to the Batman versus Superman, and that will make it better, right? Oh, that's a good question. Would it make Nickelback better or Superman versus Batman better?
Why is there all this hatred for Nickelback? I don't understand that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for Batman versus Superman.
No, I know why there's hatred for that.
Oh. Okay, so the Rogue One trailer, obviously you guys have seen it over and over and over again.
What's this Rogue One thing you speak of?
Yes. You know,
is that the sequel to The Force Awakens?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
What's really bad is...
It's episode 7, then it goes 1, and then 8.
So my boss, a self-proclaimed Star Wars fan, not like our level of fandom, but like, you know, just a more casual yet very... very interested Star Wars fan, but not as involved as we are, I should say. You know, it you have to be careful when you start talking about different levels of fandom, but he's got to be late 20s, early 30s, probably late 20s, I guess. I showed him the trailer and he's like, "Okay, wait, so they built another Death Star?" Like, no, dude, this is the Death Star. This is the original Death Star. He's like, "No, I don't remember her in the movie." Like, "No, this is a new movie." He's like, "Wait a minute, you just said that's..." I'm so confused. they are going to have a really difficult time marketing this. I thought, you know, maybe it wouldn't be quite as big a deal as everybody had feared, but then from, you know, listening to people on Twitter and talking to other people.
I mean, I don't know. I think the more people talk about this and the closer we get, people understand this is events leading up to A New Hope.
I hope so.
At least I'm hoping they will. I mean, they haven't really talked about it yet. So, I mean, to a lot of people, this teaser being released was the very first exposure to Rogue One information they were getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
This should have been teased after The Force Awakens in the theaters. I personally think that this should have been after the credits sequence, and they could have talked about what this was coming up, and this would be your next installment of a Star Wars movie taking place before the episode.
I don't know. If they did it right after the movie, though, it would seem too much like it's a post-credits sequence of what's coming in the next film, as if it's a continuation of sorts. We've kind of gotten accustomed to that.
Marvel does that for other movies, not just the one that's like, they don't tease Captain America 2 in Captain America. They tease the next movie coming out.
Yeah, but it's still all moving forward in the chronology, though. I see what you're saying, but I mean, I still think it would have been okay for them to put the sizzle reel that we saw at Celebration in front of The Force Awakens. I know why they didn't. You know, they want to focus on The Force Awakens, and you know, from a business point of view, I get it, but you know. So I guess, you know, it's up to us. Like you said, Lou, people are talking about it, and that's a good thing. It's up to all of us to make sure that we spread the word to our friends and families and neighbors and things like that to make sure that people know. So this is the other great thing. Before we get to the trailer, I love this. So we have the prequels, and you get the people who hate the prequels versus George Lucas is a saint from upon high and can do no wrong. Right. And then you get The Force Awakens, and then you get the people who are, it's just a cheap knockoff of A New Hope versus, no, this is a Star Wars movie we've always wanted. And now with the Rogue One trailer, we get the, is it going to have Bothans versus Bothans were Return of the Jedi. Get your crap together.
Yeah.
So we now have a new thing to fight each other about in the Star Wars community. You know, just because the Bothans were referenced in Return of the Jedi as stealing the plans to Death Star 2 did not mean that they did not also play a part in the first Death Star plans.
You know, I'm hoping there's a scene in The Force Awakens where somebody just goes into a room, there's a bunch of Bothans, and they just kill them all, and they leave. Because then, you know, many Bothans died to get this stuff. And it'd be kind of cool, just like a little, you know, tweak or a little, you know, here you go. Here's your Bothans that died.
One of the Bothans in the room walks over and picks up a little disc. Oh, what's this? Get them! Blow them all up. That'd be great. Oh, they've got to have some kind of Bothan death cameo now. Just
that would be awesome. Because I would laugh so hard.
They're all escaping whatever it is, and there's one escape pod. And, wait, it's that one. No, sir, that one's just full of Bothans. Oh, okay. It's a button and it detonates.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. All right. So anyway, where were we? We didn't even get started yet. Rogue One trailer. Wow. So I've got a copy
The trailer,
up here. Yeah. You guys, I assume, have it open in front of you, and we can go through it frame by frame. I'll save you a little bit of time. It's a good 7 seconds before any video pops up. So, As it opens up, we're looking at the back of the newest character played by Felicity Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And her name is Jyn Erso, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Which, right off the bat, a little weird that we have Qui-Gon Jyn and then Jyn something else. Like, I know it's different spelling, but it kind of seems weird.
You know, I didn't think about that until you just said it. So
really,
clearly, it didn't bother me.
Qui-Gon Jinn, Gin or so.
Yeah, I hear you now, but I didn't think of that.
And what is up with all of the single syllable names in Star Wars? Like, nobody has single syllable names. Lou is short for Lewis. Chris is short for Christopher.
Like Lou and Chris?
But they're short for something.
Maybe Jin short for something. Maybe Poe short for something.
And Han and Poe and Luke. Leia, at least, is two syllables. So, we're getting somewhere there, but...
Maybe Poe is short for Pythagoras.
Ah, there you go.
You never know.
That's true. If I ever meet him, I'll ask him.
I'm really stretching here.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. So she's being led through a hangar and by some sort of a rebel something. I don't know. What?
Yeah, she's definitely...
What are those guys? Are they rebel officers? Are they rebel... I thought they were like just deck crew people.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of looks like, I mean, she's definitely being led, though, because she's in binders, you know.
Well, but in the second shot, is she wearing binders, too, as she's...
Yeah, as she's being led through the hangar?
Through the hangar, yeah.
Yeah, you can see the binders on her hand with a little red light on.
Yeah, they're there.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, hello, lens flare. It's funny, nobody's talking about
nobody
the lens flare.
About that, yeah.
Nobody. And we've got an entire, the first 20 seconds of this trailer are filled with nothing but lens flare. This entire shot is just like lens flare everywhere, which doesn't bother me at all. But it's like, really? Nobody said a thing about this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So what else do we have in the hangar here? Just kind of looking around. We've got a Gonk droid. We've got an X-Wing. That's it for ships, though, right? Not really seeing anything else.
I think so here. I'm just kind of going back and forth this a little bit.
By the way, we're not going to have spoilers for the story per se. I mean, we don't really know that much about the story, but...
No, we don't know anything.
We'll talk about... There are some things about characters and very, very low-level basic stuff, so...
And now, once again, you know, I'm staying spoiler-free.
Okay.
I really enjoyed going to TFA, not knowing all the details. I'll watch the trailers. I'm not going to be looking for anything above and beyond that. I don't want to know theories and, you know, all that good stuff. So I'm there with the fans that are trying to stay spoiler free. So I will try to keep us on track for that.
I forgive you. Well, what I'm talking about, like, for example, we know Alan Tudyk is cast.
Right.
And we know that he is doing the voice of a character, so we know he's not appearing as himself in the film. Is that a spoiler?
I would consider a spoiler like, you know, things that you knew about TFA going into it that weren't public knowledge, that weren't in the trailers, and afterward, you know, you're like, kind of wish I hadn't known that, you know, that kind of thing. I went into TFA without having any spoilers spoiled for me at all, so I was very happy with that. I hope to go into this one the same way.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about
is playing a character that's not on screen, just his voice. That does not bother me at all.
Right. Okay. So we see the character he plays in this trailer. So I'm going to point that out. So if you think that's a spoiler, best to maybe skip ahead, or we'll just see you next week or something like that. So, but I say this because some people are very particular about that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so about 24 seconds in, we are 23, 24 seconds, we got our first really clear shot of Jin. She's standing in a war room of some sort in front of Mon Mothma, who, by the way, they could not have done a better job casting Mon Mothma.
Yeah, that's really incredible.
Genevieve somebody, is it?
I want to say O'Reilly, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and she was cast in episode 3, but ended up in a deleted scene. Same actress. But I think she does a great job as Mon Mothma in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of the more stunning aspects of this trailer, I thought.
Yep, she looks the part. She's got it spot on, I think.
And she has that kind of regal demeanor and the way she carries herself. She has a certain presence that I think is very strong. So, all right. So one of the things everybody's commenting on, this guy you see here at about 26, 27 seconds in.
Right.
Now, I've not been paying attention a lot to the character names and things like that. I've almost been trying to just kind of rein it in, stay out of the way until we get hit with a bunch of like really, you know, official information or the toy releases or something like that. So there's a lot of minutia and trivia that I'm not up on. You guys may be further along than I am on some of that. But who is this guy?
You want the speculation or?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the speculation is Wedge.
Nah, I've heard a lot of people say Biggs.
Okay, I've heard both, actually, but okay. Wedge is what I heard first.
Okay. He definitely looks more like Biggs than Wedge. Okay. This is Luna's character, right? Diego Luna?
I think
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's he's got a character name. I forget what it is. I think it begins with a C. But of course, people are speculating that, you know, maybe it's a code name or something like that. Rey was originally referred to as Kira early on in the Force Awakens.
Sometimes these things change, right?
Right. So we don't really know. But that's been a point of quite a bit of discussion. And that's the only time we really get a good close-up shot of him in the trailer, really. Moving along, at about 28 seconds, you see Jin wearing a hood and a droid walking behind her, kind of a skinny, scrawny-looking droid, kind of tall. That is Alan Tudyk's character. You don't really get a good shot of him, unfortunately, but...
Right.
That's the, I guess it's some kind of a modified hybrid battle droid mixed with something else. It's some sort of a combat droid. As you go through the segment, you hit about 29 seconds in and Jin is fighting a bunch of stormtroopers. She's wearing that same outfit. And there's somebody behind her at the 30 second point running off. She's kicking some pretty serious butt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
and again, they do like shooting stormtroopers into the air, just like we had in TFA. See some troopers flying pretty good here.
Yeah, I love that, you know, explosion. Somebody's holding a, it looks like a remote detonator.
Mm-hmm.
Jin and some guy with a big backpack ducking out of the way. So right off the bat, we've got a decent amount of action. I mean, in the first 30 seconds. Then it's back to Jin talking to Mon Mothma. And who's this Ira person? Some Bell person? Ira Bell? Somebody in the chat room.
That I don't know.
Man, crickets. Lou, you didn't get that? It went right over your head. Ira Bell? She says, I rebel. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. See, I don't have the sound turned on. I'm watching this without sound right now, so I'm trying to hear your voice.
Yeah. Well, that was silly of you.
I rebel.
Who in the chat room? I got to see who in the chat room I got to credit that one with, because that's really, really bad. Even for me, that's really bad.
Yeah, I see the reference here. That was The Last Disciple.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I didn't catch that. Yeah, I am a little slow.
That's
little
okay. Slow. You're distracted, though. I mean, so you've got a good excuse.
I am. I'm watching the lens flare here at, you know, 41 seconds in.
We finally get a bunch of lens flare in a Star Wars movie, and nobody's upset about it. That's really the disappointing part of this trailer.
Now, the interesting thing about the whole trailer itself, now, you know, I've enjoyed watching it. I've watched it, you know, a dozen times now, probably. But we have no idea what the order of events is in this trailer.
True.
You know, we have no idea what's taking place when in the movie. There's a lot of voiceover going on through here. We don't know if that dialogue is actually going to be in the movie or not. You know, a lot of times that stuff doesn't make it into the actual final cut of the movie. So
I think the conversation between her and Mon Mothma is pretty solid, though.
Yeah. Or was this recorded just for this? You know, you don't know. I mean, it could be either way.
True, yeah. But
I'd like to believe it's in the movie, but It doesn't necessarily have to be.
From a production point of view, it's a lot easier to do a quick voiceover for a trailer than it is to actually come up with new scenes to put in a trailer. So I think the dialogue between her and Mon Mothma is probably pretty safe. The other stuff, you know, maybe not, but. All right, jumping ahead a little bit, at about 45 seconds or so, we see a Star Destroyer with, I don't know about you guys, but it, for me at first, it seemed like kind of a weird star field in the background.
Yeah, it did to me too. And I was looking at this, like, what is going on here? And it wasn't until it panned way out that I really understood what was happening in the background there. The shadow of the super laser, I guess, focusing screen being put into place, coming across the surface of the Death Star, revealing more of the Death Star, was just, it almost gave me chills when I realized what it was.
When you realize that it was actually DirecTV's installation crew doing that satellite dish. They will install anywhere, and people don't believe it, and I'm telling you, right now.
I bet they get good reception in that thing. It's
even in outer
big.
Space, yeah. Yep.
So what do you guys think of the way the Star Destroyer and even the Death Star look compared to the original trilogy?
Well, you know, that's a good question. It's something that I didn't really pay that close attention at first, and then other people started chiming in on it. I mean, obviously the Death Star surface is a lot more detailed. And then having all of these Star Destroyers in the background really gives a sense of the scale of the Death Star.
The scales are the first thing that caught my eye. And, this as you're coming along here about 49 seconds, you've got that one Star Destroyer in the foreground, which is, you know, very close to the camera, and the Death Star behind it, which is, you know, obviously a large, large, large space station. But then off in the distance, you've got another Star Destroyer, which looks very, very tiny. And you know, we know how big they are. And it's like, wow, that gives you some sense of scale that I never really had before. And you know, we never saw a ship of this size next to the surface of the Death Star. So I was very impressed by that.
Yeah. Oh, I love our chat room. They're arguing about which Star Destroyer this is. That is so awesome. Okay, first of all, it's not the Executor. First of all, the Executor is not the Executor. That would be an Executioner. It is the Executor, as in the Executor of the Emperor's Will. That is the Super Star Destroyer that we see in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The Devastator is the Star Destroyer that chases the Tan of Four at the beginning of A New Hope. And that was more grayish than this bright white. The Avenger is the one that chases the Millennium Falcon through the asteroid field in Empire Strikes Back. Et cetera, et cetera. The Chimera, of course, Grand Admiral Thrawn's ship, which would be awesome if we saw it here in Rogue One. I kind of like the fact that, and it's been a long time, I feel like, since I've seen the old school Star Destroyers. So I can't identify off the top of my head whether this is a Victory class or an Imperial class. I feel a little bit embarrassed by that. I'm guessing maybe a Victory class, but I like the fact that it's back to the old school Star Destroyers. The one weird thing is people are saying, well, it looks white instead of that gunmetal gray. Like if you look at the Death Star behind it, it's got that kind of a steel look to it, where the Star Destroyer looks very whitewashed. And I'm wondering if it's not just the lighting, if it's not just like they're out in space. It's not like there's clouds or haze or anything for the light to be diffused through. This is like,
yeah, but wouldn't the Death Star be in the same light that would give you the same effect on its surface? I don't know.
Maybe the Death Star is otherwise completely black, and so the gray is kind of the effect of having the light off of, you know, what little light is reflecting off of this otherwise really black surface. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here. But some people have talked about the whiteness of this Star Destroyer as opposed to the more grayish color of the original trilogy. I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if that was on purpose. I don't know if it's just a lighting effect. Oh, okay, here we go. Enchanter Tim in the chat room, thank you very much. Pablo Hidalgo said on Twitter that they are the same color as the originals. See, this is why we have the chat room here. This is why we love you guys. Imperial class, by the way, according to Rezekai in the chat room, the command tower section has that extra antenna on top. So there we go.
Okay, cool.
All
right. Good to know.
So, yeah, Chris, what did you think about this since you asked? Like, was there anything about this shot that really, like, grabbed you?
Well, I was mainly referring to the very first shot of the Star Destroyer.
Okay.
I like how, even just from looking at this on a computer screen, I like how detailed everything is, because I feel like they did really well when trying to match it with the models that were originally used.
Yeah.
Like, you can just look and see all of the little tiny details that went into it. And it just makes me kind of appreciate all the work that, you know, ILM does.
Yeah. Yeah, it always feels like when you look at this stuff that it's so much more detailed than the models. And I don't really know. I've got to look at it side by side, because anytime I go back and watch the original movies, the models are actually pretty darn detailed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, the model maker crew that ILM had before they shut down their miniature shop, I mean, man, those guys were on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if nothing else, even if this is more detailed than the originals, they're at least true to the originals. I mean, I would be hard-pressed, I imagine, to spot too many differences in the design between these and the originals. I'm sure they, like, somebody is going to sit down at some point and do like a millimeter by millimeter comparison. But I mean, these look gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're moving on from DirecTV's installation here. then we get somebody who I'm trying to figure out who this guy reminds me of. Maybe a little bit of, why is my mind blanking on his name now? Not Admiral Ozzel, General Veers. Oh my gosh! Of all the Imperial officers, I'm like, how can I not remember this?
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, this guy looks a little bit like General Veers. Obviously, it's not. But this other guy that's kind of calling Jin. I keep wanting to say Rey, calling Jin out in front of Mon Mothma. Kind of looks a little bit like Veers. So, you know, and that's since I made the mistake. That's another thing that's kind of interesting. It's been coming up a lot online. People talking about the comparisons between Jin and Rey. And I have to think that a lot of it's just because it's a young female British lead heroine.
Yeah.
You know,
I see a lot of talk about that being another, you know, female lead in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Which, sadly, has brought the trolls out. And, you know, we can get into the whole sexist argument there. Ignore them. They'll go away someday. But the more interesting thing that's been brought up in relation to this really is whether or not Rey is the daughter of Jin. And I don't know that that's been officially debunked, but it's kind of been unofficially debunked.
Hmm.
I'd
be a little bit, I don't know, I guess saddened if that was the case. I mean, it's a big galaxy. I mean, we don't have to have everybody related.
Right. I agree with you there. I really don't want to see them have any particular connection because, number one, like you said, it's a big galaxy, and we have too much of a it's a small world syndrome within Star Wars already, especially within the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, I kind of feel like it diminishes the fact that we have some really strong female leads in Star Wars now. It's like, oh, okay, well, obviously it's because they're related. Well, no, it's because they're strong characters. The fact that they both happen to be women is because, you know, it's a coin toss. You have to be something. So
exactly. Yeah. It shouldn't be a thing. You know, it's like, they're talking about how, oh, it's another female lead in Star Wars. And some people are excited about that we had another one. And some people are saying, well, you know, do we need to have another one? And to me, it's like, I want a good character. I mean, I don't care if it's male or female. I mean, I kind of get upset when people started saying, oh, we have, I'm glad we have another strong female character, but I'm like, I don't really care what her, you know, gender is.
Right.
It should just be a good character that's got to fit the needs of the story and advances forward. If it's a strong female character, fantastic. If it's not, it doesn't matter to me. You know, it wouldn't bother me if it was, and people would come out saying, well, we should have another female in the cast. And that, and it's, well, like, it doesn't matter to me, really, when you come right down to it.
I think we will get to a point sociologically where we will all get to that point where it's really just about who the character is.
I hope so.
Sadly, right now, the reality of the entertainment industry is that women are underrepresented in film, seemingly, especially in science fiction. And that doesn't reflect the world we live in. And so when people say, you know, when people are excited about having another strong female lead character, the reason is it's because we're finally becoming more proactive about bringing our fiction closer to the reality in which we live and, and closer to that representation. And the reality is that for decades and decades, arguably hundreds and hundreds of years, women have been portrayed in fiction as, well, sadly, in some cases as property, let alone as not main characters, as not characters who think for themselves. They're portrayed as characters who are reliant upon their husbands or the you know, men in the community around them for their own survival, let alone just competence in day-to-day things. You know, I mean, for hundreds and hundreds of years, that's been the case. We're getting to a point now where it's changing. I understand why people are excited about it. I look forward to a day when it's not an issue anymore because we're no longer coming out of an era where it had been so badly messed up.
I mean, you gotta figure that, you know, any of these stories are a product of their times and the environment they're written in. You know, sci-fi was written in the 50s. Of course it's going to portray women as, you know, sub to males, because that's how they were portrayed in
society,
in real life
treated them
then,
that,
you know?
Way, yeah, exactly. In the 50s.
Not that they were, it's just that's how society treated people.
Right. And then we fixed it.
Right, exactly. So, you know, doing that, if you were to do a period piece now, set back in that time, you'd have to go by what the period was, though. You know, so I also kind of, in my own mind, wrestle with the fact that, well, we're going to write a period piece where we're going to have this, and this change. So I'm like, well, that doesn't really make sense because it's not true to what was going on at that time.
Right.
You know, in society. But
yeah,
I'll get off my soapbox. I don't want to upset anybody because I'm not trying to. I'm just, you know, it's just
right. Kinda, right. But it's a talking point. It's something that, you know, it's being talked about, and it's important that it is being talked about. I'm just glad that we're finally talking about it in a way that is more congratulatory, as opposed to complaining about the fact that the problem's not being addressed. I mean, here are examples of the problem being addressed and being rectified, and this is great. And I am thrilled that we have such a success going in Star Wars about it. I mean, it could be Star Trek franchise that brought this about, or it could have been the, you know, Fast and the Furious franchise or something, but it's Star Wars. And we, as a fan community, like, we're a part of this, and that's exciting for me. So anyway, so back to the trailer. We are, let's see, about a minute into this exactly. We've got who may or may not be Biggs Starkleiter.
Please be Biggs. That's all I got to say.
Not Biggs and Jin walking out of a hangar. Jin looks like carrying a blaster pistol on her right thigh. A bunch of Rebel pilots with varying different insignias on their helmets.
Yeah, three different helmets.
Yeah, pretty interesting now that there's five.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's one hidden there, yeah.
Yeah, the one guy just doesn't have his on. He's a slacker. You notice he's at the back of the group, not running as fast or anything.
Well, he, in the frame I froze on, he was hidden behind another pilot. So
okay.
They're all running out of here. I don't know if this is an alert or not. I mean, our main cast doesn't appear to be in as much of a hurry to get out of the hangar as the pilots are.
Well, no, because they're cool, calm, and collected. They're the heroes.
But I mean, the fighter pilots have a job to do. They got to get in, you know, ships and fight.
Yeah, yeah. The grunts running around on the ground actually taking shots. I mean, they.
Yeah, and of course, another gonk right in the back, you know, kind of just waddling out there.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, a good point again from the chat room. Puppuck mentioned, don't forget that awesome alarm. I mean, we've got the, our audio turned off for the trailer as we're going through frame by frame, but yeah, you've got that alarm klaxon going off, which I'm sure is going to be, you know, put into all kinds of different Star Wars sound effects from now on and podcast intros and everything else. But
it's my ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, good ringtone, man. All right. So at 1 minute and 2 seconds, we've got a great shot here of Grand Admiral Thrawn. Pre-makeup. He didn't put the blue stuff on or his red contact lenses. That's what that is.
I thought maybe he had put white powder on top so he'd look more human.
Oh, there you go. In disguise.
Because we know the Emperor likes, you know, humanoid people, yeah, not aliens.
But to be fair, that was more of a Legends thing. If you look at...
Oh, so he's really not a racist, you're saying?
I don't know the... Seriously, I don't know the extent to which that's really being portrayed in the current
I'm being facetious.
Chronology. Well, I mean, it used to always be that women were not treated as well in the Empire now, back then, too. Mm-hmm. But that seems to not really be an issue currently. So I don't know whether the alien thing will be retconned or not. I shouldn't call it a retcon, but you know,
wait,
you know what I mean.
Have we seen female officers in the Empire right now?
Admiral Sloan.
Oh, okay.
In the books. I mean, if you look at A New Dawn and Aftermath, yeah. I mean, a fairly prominent one, in fact, especially through Aftermath. I mean, not that she didn't still have some struggles to be taken seriously, but... definitely a prominent character. And
yep, no, I digress. I forgot about the books. Yep. Sorry.
All right. So seriously, this Grand Admiral here, it definitely does appear to be a Grand Admiral, uniform.
Yeah. It looks that way. We got the white, we got a cape.
Yep. We have, any more pips across his chest and it would cross the center line into the other side of his chest. carrying something in his left hand, and I can't tell if it's a blaster with a really long barrel. I mean, it's perfectly vertical. Could be a walking stick.
It's hard to see what that is.
Yeah.
Could be one of those, you know, vapor things. Maybe he's coming off smoking. He's trying to...
There you go.
Cut back.
Yeah. I don't know. Chris, any speculation on what that is?
You know, I didn't even notice he was holding anything until... You said something. It kind of looks like a blaster.
It kind of does. I don't know.
Because if you look on his right side, it kind of looks like there's a holster there.
But he's holding it in his left hand.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe he's left-handed.
Then the holster would be on his left.
Left side, yeah.
Well, maybe. That's a really long barrel if it's a blaster, so... I don't think that would fit in that holster.
Yeah, and he's obviously on some sort of a command deck, too, in which case would he really be holding a...
Now, the one thing that puts this kind of out of place for me as far as a Grand Admiral goes, you know, no mention of that in A New Hope. So where does this fit in with the story we already know? I mean,
we don't know.
I mean, you know, Tarkin was in charge of the Death Star.
But he was a Moth, which is more, I mean, my understanding, that's more army, whereas Admiral is more Imperial Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I'm assuming, I'm assuming it's almost like, more like there's two different branches.
Right, but I mean, I would think that a mobile battle station would fall under the direction of the Navy. I mean, speculation, I don't know, you know, it's...
Well...
And are the Moths definitely more army than Imperial Navy? I've never heard that before.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Pablo. We'll have to get, hey Chris, what you doing this week? getting Pablo on the show. Yeah.
So it just, you know, it just makes me wonder what they're going to do. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fine when we see it. Everything's going to make sense. But to me, it's like, okay, we had Tarkin in charge of the Death Star, at least overseeing that. He was the guy who seemed to be running the show there. Invader.
Maybe this guy is dead in A New Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe, yeah. They just haven't replaced him yet, so Tarkin's got the command.
And that's the thing. I really think that Tarkin is, especially if you look at the Tarkin novel, I mean, keep in mind the Death Star is still being built. So it's Tarkin may be in charge of the Death Star, but you've still got somebody commanding the fleet around the Death Star who is controlling it. Whatever battle that we see happen later on in this trailer isn't against the Death Star. It's against some other forces that I really don't think Tarkin directly controls. Tarkin is tasked with something completely different. He's in a development stage. He's overseeing the construction of this weapon that he will then take over and utilize, but the weapon isn't being utilized yet. So there are other, there are other military units that are detached to protect this.
Yeah. And that could be where he's in charge of the fleet.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah. To address an excellent question in the chat room, aren't they more like governors regarding the Grand Moffs? It seems to me like the Moffs were regional military leaders, and then when the Senate was disbanded, the Moffs were then put in charge over the different regions. So,
And even in New Hope, he was called, you know, governor by Leia.
Governor Tarkin, right. So I don't know that their political and ruling over civilian populace as a rule. Like, I don't think that's the purpose of their rank. I think that is something that the emperor then said, okay, we're getting rid of the Senate. Everybody, you know, all of the Moffs out there in the different regions, you are now controlling the regions that you are detached to. There you go. You are now governing. I don't think that was ever the point of the rank, is what I'm trying to say. So, anyway, back to the trailer. Coming up on an hour in here, I thought that this is going to be a short recording. I'm glad I was wrong. All right. So, moving along, in about a minute and 5 seconds, we see our first shot of some really, really cool new Stormtrooper outfits, as well as some sort of a tank. Some sort of a vehicle with some really nasty looking cannons on it.
Yep.
And I forget what they're calling. Is it a Scarab Trooper, I think, is what they're calling these?
Oh, I haven't heard. Okay.
Not sure. But we've seen close-ups of the helmet in some of the production stills and things like that. They've been on display at different places. But looks pretty cool, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm always interested in seeing new armor designs and new types of troopers.
Yeah, and apparently, according to Mike Templeton, who we had on Random Chatter this past episode, we were talking to him a little bit about it. The Stormtrooper outfits are different from the original trilogy. I guess the 501st has been really tearing these apart, not criticizing, tearing them apart analytically to try to differentiate what they need to do in order to make these costumes. And I guess these are, there are some significant differences, perhaps for mobility. Forrest Whitaker at a minute and 7 seconds in, walking with a limp and some sort of a cane. My understanding is he's got some kind of stiff leg. He seems to be, if you gauge by his dialogue, he seems to be kind of the Yoda, the Maz Kanata, the Obi-Wan of this movie, kind of the guide, the wizened old man. We've got the dark troopers, shadow troopers, death troopers, all kinds of different debates on what to call these at about a minute and 10.
And that's a cool new helmet, too.
I like it. Chris, what do you think of this helmet?
I am a huge fan, actually. I kind of prefer it more than the actual Stormtrooper helmets themselves that we're all used to. I don't think it'll beat out the... my favorite helmet design is the Clone Troopers from Episode 3.
Okay.
But I like how this is kind of a mix of what we know, but it's also, you know, pretty different.
Yeah, it looks so menacing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got that angular look to it. It doesn't look almost, you know, sometimes the Stormtroopers looked almost kind of very quizzical almost. You know, they're looking like, huh? Like a dog heard something and tilt his head. What? You know, that's what sometimes I get the feeling of for the original Stormtroopers, because they almost had that really surprised look on their face on the helmet. But this guy, he looks just, you know, bad. He looks like he's ready to lay down some fire here and do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point. You know what I think does it is, I mean, we always kind of anthropomorphize the helmets for things because obviously they are designed to match up with certain facial structures and such. But if you look at the eyes on this one, you've got a flat line right across the top of the eyes, almost like the guy's wearing a bowl on his head.
Mm-hmm.
With the other Stormtroopers, it's a little bit more curved across the top, a little more angular. And one of the most expressive parts of a human face is the eyebrows. So when you've got just like a straight line across the eyebrows or across the top of the eyes, it has a more intense look. So, you know, I never really thought about that, Lou, but I think that may be very true. That may be a kind of a psychological side effect of that straight line design across the top of the eyes there.
Well, it could be. Could have something to do with it. Yep.
Interesting. I think they look really, really cool. Not just the helmet too, but if you look at the pauldron there, the rest of the armor looks pretty sweet.
I mean, you know, the original troopers still had that straight brow across the top, but I think it had to do with the, you know, the upside down triangle over the, you know, the mouthpiece, you almost should say, beneath the nose, that always had that very strange look to me on the face of the troopers, where it was almost comical. You know, I mean, they're still, you know, bad looking troopers. I mean, they're still, you know, inspire fear, but this black one just looks so much, well, darker, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
not to be just black as dark, but, you know, it just looks
darker
so
in tone.
Evil. Yeah.
Yes. No, I agree completely. All right, so moving along to about a minute and 10, we see three pilots walking along here. And once again, the slacker who couldn't be bothered to put his helmet on with the rest of the group seems to be the same guy in the back of this line, too. And I bet when he was growing up in school, he was always the last one in line when the teachers, you know, rang the bell for recess. Little punk. Anyway, yeah, so they're being led through... some sort of a street marketplace.
Yeah, shopping area. Yep. And people aren't even paying attention. They're just kind of doing their own thing. And these troopers are walking these three pilots through the crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of my favorite scenes from the trailer, minute and 12 seconds in, we see the, apparently this is a subway in London.
Yeah. I've seen some side-by-side comparisons.
Yeah.
Canary so Wharf, I think it was.
You've got Jin and Not Biggs with his Not jacket. And Alan Tudyk's droid. And they are running away from something. This is supposed to be inside the Death Star. Or at least that's what people are speculating. Again, no spoilers. We don't know anything about this for certain. It is speculated that this is some sort of an internal transit system within the Death Star. It may not be. It could be aboard a Star Destroyer. It could be within a base. We don't know. We see a whole crap load of stormtroopers running along with some of the what may or may not be called scarab troopers, presumably chasing our heroes. We cut to a scene outside, looks like in the same sort of marketplace-y sort of thing at about a minute and 14 seconds with our blind ninja samurai guy taking out a whole bunch of stormtroopers with a staff. Very effectively, I might add. Minute and 16, we see some of our dark stormtroopers in action.
Now, you know, you would think a staff wouldn't be that effective against armor. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know if
just,
you hit...
I'm just saying.
It's all about leverage. You hit it at the right points. I mean, it looks like he hit the stormtrooper in the side of the knee. And he hit it with the outside of the staff, which is the fastest moving part of the staff. I mean, it could be broke the guy's knee. You know, I'm sure the armor held up just fine. Guy just can't walk. You know, I mean, that's a legitimate sort of thing. I would think.
Okay, sure. If you want to defend their armor again, I mean,
we'll take a look at it when the movie comes out. I don't know.
By the way, speaking of this character, Freddie Prinze Jr. actually confirmed that it's not Kanan.
Oh yeah, because of
some things.
Yeah, we should give a warner for the Rebels finale there, but yeah, if you haven't seen the Rebels season 2 finale, don't delve too much into that discussion online until after you do. We'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last weekend, or last episode, but yeah. And how do you feel about, again, trying to stay spoiler free, how do you feel about that?
About it not being Kanan?
Yes.
Knowing what something, knowing what something isn't the same as knowing what's going to be in my book.
But were you looking forward to it being?
If you told me that, you know, hey, we're not going to see BB-8 in this movie. Okay.
Wait, what?
You know, that wouldn't bother me. You know,
that bothers me. Dude. Okay. No, I see what you're saying, though. I mean, you know, you can't miss something that was never there in the first place.
Right.
But when the speculation started happening, I mean, would you have rather had it be Kanan than not? Is that something you would have wanted to see?
You know, I would like to see a tie into Rebels in this movie, but if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be, you know, really bummed out by it.
Okay.
If it happens, yeah, it happens, you know.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Although I kind of wish it was him, just because out of all of the characters in Rebels right now, I can see him being the one that survives, just because that's kind of Kanan's thing. He survives.
Wait, what would they all die? What?
Spoiler!
sorry. Yeah, I can see that, Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. All right, so back to the trailer, about 1:16, right after the, I don't even know what to call these guys yet, the Dark Troopers. I'll just call them that for now, I guess, for lack of anything else to call them. Right after that, we cut to, I don't know if this is I guess it looks like a ship of some sort.
Yeah, I'm thinking some sort of transport.
Yeah, exploding.
You know, Imperial, definitely.
The rebel soldier nearby ducking behind something. We see the Grand Admiral walking across either a puddle or a very, very, very shallow creek. Some dead stormtroopers all over the place, burning wreckage in the background that he's approaching. Then it cuts to a scene that is obviously interior somewhere. It's got that kind of not hexagonal look, but kind of the angular look of.
Yeah, the doors are. Yep.
It reminds me of Darth Vader's meditation chamber from Empire Strikes Back on his Star Destroyer. But we see a cloaked, robed figure approaching what almost looks like a Bacta tank of sorts.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, some sort of.
And it's probably not back to tank, but
some sort of central dais, or you know, central chamber.
A couple
red Imperial guards.
Large cylinder emitting light from the middle of this dais. But yeah, two royal guards, which is awesome. I've always loved those characters.
I've loved the outfit. Yeah,
I would love to actually see them in battle for once.
See, I've never thought
about
that.
Wasn't there a comic about that?
Yes,
was there
Crimson Empire? Oh, dude, yeah, they're like. The Navy SEALs,
these guys aren't going to be fighting. These guys are ceremonial.
No.
I've always read that.
Yeah, okay. In the comics, they're like personally trained ninjas.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they're like total badass.
See, in my mind, they've always just been ceremonial.
I always saw that too. Really, until the Crimson Empire comic book came out, that was really what changed it. It's easy to find, by the way. There's also Crimson Empire 2, and though I've not read it, I think there's a 3.
Okay.
Who was it? Carnor Jax, I think, was one of the characters in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And I forget the other one. Definitely worth a read, though. I mean, they're a little dated. I mean, they came out in the early 90s, but...
I just don't know why you'd want to put your elite fighting force in a costume with a very limited view. You know, but let's limit their peripheral vision and make it so they can't really see very well and let them fight for me.
I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of high-tech sensors in there. They can, you know, pull up different information from different sensors, and I don't know. We have no idea what's going on inside of those.
True. That's true. Man.
Anyways.
You know, that's going to be the next Hardcore Henry. First person view from inside of a stormtrooper.
I tell you what, if they made a Star Wars Hardcore Henry movie, I bet it would make gangbusters.
Hardcore TK657.
Hardcore Wicket. First person Ewok film. Oh, swinging, man, through the trees and, yeah. Anyway, back to the trailer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a minute and 20 seconds in, whoever this guy is, and we don't really know, is kneeling down before this little stage. So that's that's interesting. Cuts back to Forrest Whitaker looking very Forrest Whitaker-ish.
He looks like he's in terrible pain.
And he's also trying very intensely to get this message across to whoever he's talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we see, I forget who this character is. Again, I've tried to avoid all of the little bits and pieces about the characters. I want to be able to wait until we get enough information to sit down and I can just digest each one of the characters.
All the characters will be spoiled when the, you know, action figures come out. There'll be stuff in the back of the packaging. We'll know who they are. What
this guy,
are, kind of what their motivation is.
This guy, I think, is a weapon expert of some sort, if I recall correctly. Running away from a bunker that looks like it's about to explode. Jin, not Biggs, other rebel troopers running across a beach, palm trees in the background with AT-ATs that appear to be the style of AT-AT from Rebels. Very different looking AT-AT than what we've seen in Empire Strikes Back. Turns and fires toward the camera. What's that, Chris?
Was in right before Hoth.
Uh-huh.
Was the AT-AT supposed to be in like a more of a prototype stage? Like not right before Empire, but like
that's a good question.
Leading up to it,
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was just the first time we saw them was in Empire, but not that was their first debut on the battlefield. You know, it was just that was,
you know,
first time we saw them deployed.
I'm actually thinking of a video game right now, because there was I can't remember the story of it, but there was. Do you guys remember Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds?
Yes, though I never played it. I do remember it though.
Okay. Well, it had some different campaigns for different characters in it, and one of them, they had a prototype AT-AT, and I can't remember. Mm. Obviously, that's not canon, but I think that's where I was getting that from. Mm.
Okay.
I kind of like the way the cockpits on these AT-ATs are red, you know, kind of military style. You'd have red lighting in there to keep your... Well, in this case, it would be night vision, but it was daytime for the shot here. But I kind of like that. It makes them look more menacing.
It does. And then we get to the final shot of the trailer, really, where we see Jin turn around wearing an Imperial uniform. Rumor has it, and again, I don't think this is really a spoiler because she's wearing a uniform right now. It's just an issue of identifying it. It is believed to be an Imperial gunner uniform. And she's wearing something on her back. It looks like a couple of, I don't know, a couple of fighting sticks or
It looks that way.
Or something like that. Not really sure, but, and it's obviously some sort of a tunnel or passageway reminiscent of the Death Star from A New Hope or Star Destroyers from the original trilogy. So, and that's, if I remember correctly, that's basically it. Yeah, and then we get to the closing title. So, let's see. We have no Yoda, no Jedi, no desert planets. It's already my favorite Star Wars movie.
Well, I've heard people complaining about not getting enough combat in this trailer, because we've been talked about how this is going to be, you know, the Black Hawk Down of Star Wars, and be a real gritty ground battle throughout. But you know, the whole movie is not going to be battle. So then this trailer, I think, is a perfect way to lead into this story, to kind of give people the feeling of what this is going to be. And I can't wait to actually wait for the movie to see that combat, the ground combat stuff.
Yeah, I don't think not seeing it in the trailer means it's not there. I think not seeing it in the trailer indicates two things. Number one, it indicates that they recognize that no matter how good the combat is, of which I'm sure there's going to be a lot, it's still got to be about the story. It's still got to be about the characters. And then number two, they recognize that if this is going to go with a very different tone than the other Star Wars films, we need to kind of work people into that. So this is something that takes the approach of, you know, as you said, it kind of centers in on one character and what it is they're going to be going through the film. It's a little more like what we would expect from a Star Wars trailer. Though, it's also important to point out that we didn't get an actual teaser first. You know, normally for Star Wars, we get a teaser, we get a couple of trailers, 300,000 television spots just before the film releases, and then we get the film. They're running out of time. Not that they haven't been strategic about this, but, you know, they don't have a lot of time between now and when this releases, so it doesn't entirely surprise me that they went straight into what is almost a full-blown teaser. I mean, or a trailer. It's almost more of a half trailer, but it's more than just a teaser. It's not just a couple of shots with some music in the background and a title card.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, teasers typically don't give you anything.
Right. Look back at the TFA teaser.
Mm.
We were excited for it, but
oh yeah,
you know, there's way more substance in this one.
But you know, one more time, I don't want to know a lot. I don't want them to give away a lot in a trailer. I'm looking for another trailer, but you know, I don't want to, like, after the first trailer, or after the first real trailer came out at Celebration last year for TFA, I was content. You know, I was like, okay, I don't need to know anymore. I don't want them to, I mean, I'd love to know more stuff, but I don't want them to give me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet with this movie, but I'm assuming after the first real trailer comes out, I will be there.
Yeah. I'm still undecided about this one. I was craving The Force Awakens so much just because there's so much information surrounding it. Like the, what happens before it, what happens after it, what happens tangentially to it. Rogue One, it's different because you know all of that. You know Luke blows up the Death Star. You know that Leia is transporting the plans on the Tana 4 and trying to get them to Alderaan. You know that the Senate is disbanded sometime around this time period. You know a lot of the side story. Actually, this itself is almost more side story to what we're watching with the original trilogy, which was more about Luke and less about the Empire and Vader and the Death Star, etc. It's weird for me. I don't know how much I want in the way of spoilers on this one. Part of me feels like I don't care as much about the spoilers, but then there's also a part of me that feels like I wouldn't be as bothered by them either.
Well, to me, the spoilers this one are going to be more of what the character moments are, what the character building is, because we know what happens. I mean, it's kind of like going into watching Titanic. We know the ship sinks.
Right.
You know, I mean, I imagine, and this isn't a spoiler because I have no knowledge, but I imagine a scene at the end of this movie will be giving the plans over to Princess Leia and the Tantive IV,
yeah,
you know, taking off.
Right.
I imagine, and that would be a nice, you know, tribute to pay to A New Hope.
Yeah, but, you know, spoiler-wise, I think your Titanic analogy is really good. And Saving Private Ryan's another one that comes to mind. Like, the plot, it's not really a plot twist, I guess, but like the reveal at the end is it's a character reveal. It's not about the war, but like if I gotten every other moment of the film spoiled for me, it doesn't matter. It still would have been about seeing these things happen and watching how the characters react, you know, the performances from the actors.
I even come right down to say, if I had a spoiler that said that, you know, mustache guy there was going to die, no big deal, because I'm not invested in the character yet. I don't know who he is. I don't know what his deal is. If he dies, he dies. You know, right. If I find out that it's somebody that I'm really invested in later on, maybe I'd be a little more upset. But at this point, you know, what can they really spoil for us that we don't, that would bother me? I mean, I'm not going to look for spoilers, like I said, but what can they really give me that's going to be, it'd be a cool thing? I mean, maybe if they debuted some new starship new starfighter. Yeah, I wouldn't want to know that before I saw it on the big screen.
Okay.
You know, yeah. But for the most part, you really can't ruin this movie for me.
Chris, what's your approach on this? What do you plan to do as far as your information gathering on this?
Well, I'm pretty fine about just staying away from spoilers. I tried to do it with The Force Awakens, but I was tempted in multiple ways.
You were pulled to the dark side.
That was really hard.
Ooh, shame on you.
That was really hard to do when people would tweet directly at you spoilers the day the movie came out. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I don't have this urge like I did with TFA to seek out what is happening and information about characters and stuff like that. So I've contained myself so far, and we only have a little over half a year until it comes out. So I think I can wait.
You know, that's the other good point about the whole spoiler argument. It's not like it was with TFA when you had 2 years.
Yeah.
There's still 8 months. Long. I mean,
yeah, true.
I mean, you're right. Some of that time was taken up by our, you know, infatuation with TFA, because they were working on this, you know, while TFA was imminently coming out in the theaters.
But along with this, for the next 8 months, we've also got whatever's going to be coming up for Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, like we talked about, there are some big things coming down the pipe for Rebels now. Whereas before, you know, Rebels was brand new. We were just kind of getting into it. We were just getting a feel for it. Now, it's really blown up into its own thing. We've got Episode 8 is coming up. And we're going to end up getting spoilers for that. And pretty soon they're going to start work on the Han Solo film. I mean, they're already allegedly working on casting for it. We're going to get some trailers, not trailers. We're going to get some spoilers being trickled out about that over time. You know, at first, basic things, casting and, you know, a time period perhaps, and, you know, a title, things like that. But, you know, non-spoilery leaks. But so it's a little different now than it was, let's say, 2 years ago, because Rogue One isn't the only game in town for Star Wars right now. Oh, plus all the comic book series. I mean, if you want to get outside of the visual aspect of things, you've also got novels and you've got comics. I mean, we had kind of a drought there for a while where there was just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to make it easier to pass the time in between now and Rogue One as well. With TFA, that 8 months was really, really tough. I think it's going to be easier this time around.
Let's you just need so. More discipline, Eric. You need to be, you know, a little more.
That's what my wife says.
You know?
Yeah. Chat room says, if you spoil Lou, he will space you.
That's right.
That's true. I've seen him do it.
I'm just trying to be efficient.
Crew after crew. That poor ship. All right. Anything else on the Rogue One trailer before we sign off for this episode?
You know, not that it's part of the trailer, but at the very end of this trailer, it does go to that quick little snippet with Kathleen Kennedy and Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
which I think is pretty cool. He's just staring intently at the camera and, you know, doesn't say a word.
That's great.
Do you guys have any concerns about what you see in the trailer?
Concerns of what do you mean? Like something you're concerned about?
No, just anything in general.
I don't know if there was something you were trying to hint at. No, I don't think so. I mean,
I do.
Okay.
If you want to get really nitpicky, which is something I'm good at, I want to clarify once again, especially for the newer listeners. I enjoy analyzing things. I enjoy looking at the pros and cons of things. I love playing devil's advocate. If I say something negative about something with Star Wars, it's purely out of an analytical point of view. It is not dissing it. I love Star Wars. Like, I don't even think Chris and Lou understand how much I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars. But so, you know, bear with me here. So for this trailer, one of the concerns I have is Forrest Whitaker. As an actor, I find that he either delivers incredible performances or he tries too hard and it comes across as being over the top. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit concerned with him in this film. And what I saw in the trailer, I don't know enough about the character and that particular scene that he's in to know how I'm going to feel about it. But I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything in the trailer inherently that gives me a lot of concern, a lot of reason to worry about anything. What about you, Chris? Anything that kind of sticks out to you as a point of concern?
No, nothing really. My friend did text me a little while ago, and he's a huge Star Wars fan. However, he is a big proponent of Legends.
Okay.
And his argument is that this feels a little too familiar, specifically Kyle Katarn, because he's, you know,
yeah,
attributed to at least being involved with the plans or the stealing of the Death Star plans. And, you know, Dark Forces and Shadow Troopers and whatnot.
I never got that attached to Kyle Katarn. I know he's a big fan favorite. Mm-hmm. I didn't dislike him. I just never really, like, clicked with him.
I just worry that I hope this is a good enough story to win over those kinds of people.
Yeah. You know, I feel the pain of the loss of the expanded universe, as it were. To me, the expanded universe on a personal level has always been just as Star Wars as the films. The hours of content especially from the novels for the expanded universe, to mm-hmm. me, I mean, how many hours of content, if you look at the audiobooks, 12 hours per audiobook on average for Unabridged versus the films. I mean, one audiobook basically is more than the entire original trilogy. You know, I'm looking back to, you know, starting at 1991 with Timothy Zahn's series and moving forward. I'm not excluding the prequels or anything on purpose, but I'm saying it for a long time. And especially if you're listening to the audiobooks and, you know, you have people like Mark Thompson, for example, doing, not that he's the only narrator, he's just, you know, my favorite, doing basically performances of the different characters. And, you know, you've got the sound effects and the musical cues and stuff in the production of the audiobooks, so much more than what you get with a lot of other audiobook production. It really feels like a piece of Star Wars. And so to give that up, I get it. You know, listen, I'm feeling that same pain as everybody else. It's just, I guess.
See, I must be in a minority because I don't feel that same pain. And I've read a lot of the EU stuff and I've been, you know, thoroughly invested in that over the years. And I'm okay to let it go now. And I'm okay to have them put in snippets or bits and pieces of that into these movies going forward as canon, because they said they were going to. They said they're going to borrow from the EU whenever they could,
right,
or Legends, where it makes sense and where it doesn't feel cheap. And I'm okay with that. You know, take the best parts of that and make it into new stories for me. I can always go back and reread the other ones. In fact, before TFA came out, I went back and reread or, you know, re-listened to the Zahn trilogy. And, you know, is still very good. You know, am I sad that it's not considered part of the story anymore? No. You know, it's still there. I can still listen to it and right. enjoy it.
Right. And, you know, it's think of it as an alternate timeline with a lot in it, you know, 30 years or more worth of sure. books after Return of the Jedi. The only difference is production wise, they're not adding more stories to it anymore. They're now working on the other timeline. It's, you know, it's just a matter of perspective. Like you said, those stories are still there. It's weird for me, you know, honestly. So here's the thing, and I know we need to wrap up the show, and maybe this is a good discussion for a different episode. For me, the biggest impact of the loss of the Legends stories is that now when I'm reading these new novels, several of them don't seem to hold up, and I'm unintentionally, and despite avoiding doing it, I'm unintentionally comparing what I'm reading now to what I used to know of the Star Wars universe. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's going to get better. I guess I'm kind of okay with where they're taking things now. It's not that I'm not willing to let go of what was there before, but it's that as I'm reading some of the new stuff, we've talked before about the fact that some of the novels just don't hold up that well.
Yeah.
And so that makes it really hard when you're kind of like, okay, I'm open to the idea of having a different Star Wars, but this is the Star Wars I'm getting. Yeah, and you can't judge
the whole
thing
by
that.
But poor EU stuff before too.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
all of that was great. I mean, you know,
especially
you look back and compare it against the Zahn stuff. You compare it against Darth Plagueis, and those are excellent books, but not all of them were.
Oh no, there were some real stinkers.
Yeah. So going the stuff I've read so far from, you know, the current, you know, novels that are now part of canon, I think Lost Stars is probably my favorite.
I'm not in the middle of it now. I'm about a quarter of the way into it right now. Maybe not even quite that far.
Okay. Are you finding it accessible? Do you find it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Good?
No, okay. I'm really enjoying it so far. It's, I mean, again, it's very early on. But I am attached to the characters much more easily than I was with Aftermath. And again, I didn't hate Aftermath. It was very right. much not what we were expecting, but I'm okay with it. I'm looking forward to Life Debt, et cetera. But I have to agree. I think that Lost Stars is probably one of the best in the novels, at least. And I'm also catching up with the comic books right now, too. Again, probably a discussion for another episode. But before we wrap up, Chris, have you read Lost Stars?
I got about 50 pages in, and then life kind of took over, so I've not been able to pick it back up.
Okay. But I would recommend you do.
What I did read, I very much enjoyed.
Yeah. I imagine that you will enjoy it. I think that it's definitely one of the better.
Yeah, I mean, I did not think of myself as going to be enjoying a young adult Star Wars novel with a side of romance to it, but I really did.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that the young adult novels are generally considered the better ones. I mean, you had Before the Awakening, which is also technically a young adult novel, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. Wait, is that the one with Rey and Poe and
yeah.
Finn? Okay, I'm partway through that. I've read Finn's. I'm part of the way through Rey's, and I'm told that Poe is the better one of the three. But yeah, it's not bad. I really liked Finn's. Rey's. So far, I'm only part way through, and it's kind of, it's okay. But, yeah, we'll talk about that later. Like I said, I'm still catching up with the comics, but I am trying to catch up as quickly as I can afford to, voraciously tearing through them. And, there's some really good stuff there.
Yeah, I am way behind in the comics. I'm hoping to get some of that reading done tomorrow, actually, with my day off.
Yeah, and you know, and to be fair, the comics before were something that was that they were there were some incredible ones, and then there were some stinkers. So I mean, all due respect to Dark Horse, they really knocked it out of the park most of the time, especially as they got going. And it's the same thing with the novels. Over time, they kind of weeded out the less than stellar authors, and they kept the good ones around for the most part. I know they're some that people don't appreciate as well as others. But now it seems like with all of these new authors coming in, we're resetting everything. And I think that that's kind of why it's a little hard. Like, not even the worst of the novels currently are not as bad as the worst of the novels from the early 90s. So I got to give them that. I got to be fair. That being said, I think we had hit a high point with the quality on a lot of the novels, you know, the more recent ones notwithstanding, people didn't like the politics and whatever. Okay, that's a whole different topic. But I think we were getting a certain level of overall story quality that we were expecting, and then now we're kind of being thrown for a loop a little bit. And I think it's going to be a while for us to kind of feel like things are stabilizing. I don't know. Anyway,
I can see that.
We want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think of the novels, of the comics, of the trailer, of your take on spoilers going into Rogue One. Are you treating this any differently than you did with The Force Awakens, or are you treating it exactly like you did with Episode 7? What's your take on your approach to information going into Rogue One? Let us know. Send us an email. EchoBase@randomcheddar.com. That's how you can reach us. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter at Random Chatter, at Echo Base Podcast. I'm at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Chris, where can we find you?
At The Curse of Chris.
All right. And Lou?
Just my name, at Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. You can find all of our shows on the Random Chatter Network over at the website, randomchatter.com. Got lots of great stuff there. Our other Star Wars show is the Sabacc Table, covering Star Wars gaming. We also have Random Chatter, which is kind of a loose-based discussion show every week, as well as The Outer Rim, which is our non-Star Wars news show. Jovial J from Jedi Journals has a bunch of shows on our network as well that he does with Josh, and they do a stellar job. Speaking of Jay and Jedi Journals, Jay continues to do that show with Chris Wyman over at the Forcecast. I know the network is basically shut down, but Jedi Journals continues on, as does the IndieCast. So I want to give a shout out to them. They are continuing with excellent shows on time, on schedule, just as reliable as they ever have been. So be sure to continue checking those out. We would love it if you would subscribe to our shows on the Random Chatter Network through iTunes or through Stitcher and leave reviews. Let people know what you think of the shows. And contact us too. If you have any polite feedback, polite criticisms, constructive criticism, we receive it very well. We want to make sure that we're making shows that you want to listen to. So let us know what you think. You can listen to our shows live as well. Randomchatter.com/live. There's a live stream. There's a chat room there that you can participate in the show, as you heard throughout this episode. We normally record live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We normally get started a few minutes late, but, you know, we try to throw something in the stream to keep people occupied. Like the really cool, awesome videos I threw in today that Lou loved so much. I'm telling you, they were awesome. Chris,
they were fun.
You should check them out. They're cool. Anyway, so that's something you can, that's another way in which you can participate with the community a little bit. Randomchatter.com/live. Let's see what else. Oh, Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. It's a way that you can help support the network, but it's also a way that we can give something back to you for doing so. We release bonus content there for all of the donors, even if it's just $1 a month. You'll get the bonus content there on the website, patreon.com/randomchatter. The Random Chatter show itself, we normally record several days in advance, and so we make that available to the Patreon donors earlier than it actually gets posted to the website. So that's another cool thing. And then finally, there's a donation level there at which you can hang out with us in Slack, which is kind of a instant messaging chat room sort of hangout thing that pretty much the entire network staff, we hang out and have discussions all day long, all week long, on all kinds of different things. So it's a great place to hang out. Great conversations going on in there. And so that's another thing you can check out. Anything else before we close the doors here?
Nothing from me.
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Cool. Well, that's it for Echo Base then. Thank you for hanging out with us and listening. Tune in each week, and until next time, take care, everybody.
The Force will be with you always.